Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't tolerate sponsors. We don't take calls. We don't put up with much of anything at all around here. But we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. The original thought being the Bible and a biblical worldview. That's right. Plain old Christianity, nothing too modern or psychological or Just plain old Christianity, plain old Christian worldview. You know, like what the country was founded on and all of that. Speaking of the founding of the country, so how do you know when you're getting old? Well, there's the pain in all your joints and all that. But I mean, aside from that, milestones along the highway toward elderliness. Well, so I was online this past week trying to look up an associate that I knew in the Marine Corps a few years back, going back a few years. Anyway, I was not able to find him, but I did find a video posted by my old unit, posted up on the, well, I don't really know where this came from. But there's a video posted up online from April of 2025. And here's the description. So I'll see if my extremely attractive audio engineer is paying attention. See if she can get this. All right. There's a video posted up online. U.S. Marines with Marine Wing Support Squadron 172 Marine Aircraft Group 36 1st Marine Aircraft Wing are demolishing a section of runway at Iwajima Training Facility, Okinawa, Japan, March 17th through the 19th of 2025. So that just reminded me that I was on Iwajima sometime, I think, around 1989, when we put that airfield in, and they're now grinding it up and replacing it. So you know when the asphalt you laid down is having to be replaced, you know that you're getting old. So and I was not able to find Staff Sergeant, Staff Sergeant Sharpless. Staff Sergeant Sharpless, where are you, my friend? Couldn't find him. Maybe I'll look on Facebook later. Anyway, but Staff Sergeant Sharpless, he did a Bible study. When I first went to Korea the very first time on my first operation, he stayed in the tent on the weekends and the evenings and did a Bible study. And so I was trying to look him up again just to tell him thank you for just being Staff Sergeant Sharpless. But anyway, couldn't find him. But anyway, I'll meet him on the other side one way or another. Now let's check in with Derek Chauvin. Well, we can't check in with Derek Chauvin. He's in prison. But we're going to check in with the retired judge from, this is from the Justice System file. Retired judge who presided over the trial of Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin now claims that certain political actions complicated the trial. Though, right? Yeah, I know. It's like, oh, really? So, but he does claim that he maintained and ensured a fair trial for Mr. Chauvin. The judge, I'm not going to name this piece of garbage. I'm not going to say his name publicly. He criticized the Minneapolis police. The judge, in an interview given to the Minneapolis Star Tribune, criticized the Minneapolis City Council for announcing a $27 million settlement with Floyd's family before the trial back in 2021. I remember that. I was like, how are you supposed to get a fair trial when Minneapolis already gave the family like $20 million? Anyway, He says that the reason he dismissed a defense request for a change of venue was he quipped at the time, "What, are we going to change the venue to Mars?" Unquote. So that right there, this guy was unqualified from the very beginning. And I remarked on it then, and I still remark on it now, and I think this judge should be drummed out of America in shame. His retirement should be put in a pile and burned in front of him, every dime of it. He also, he in his interview with the Minneapolis Star Tribune, he condemned extremists on both sides, targeting the right wing for promoting, quote, revisionist history, unquote. That's us. That's you and me, because we pointed out that George Floyd died from an overdose of fentanyl that he was trying to hide. And that's revisionist history, bringing up the fact that he wasn't murdered by Derek Chauvin. The fact that he wasn't murdered by Derek Chauvin, if you bring that up, you're a conspiracy theorist, right wing revisionist historian. The judge, he expressed confidence in the jury's decision. Here's what the judge actually said to the urinalists at the Minneapolis Star Tribune. "I bet if you interviewed them, they'd say they don't regret their decision." That's because they still live in Minneapolis, probably afraid someone to come and burn their house down. The judge also shared with the reporters at the Minneapolis Star Tribune that he received a supportive letter from retired Judge Lance Ito, who presided over who presided over the O.J. Simpson travesty. I mean, trial. Okay, wow. Tell me God's not merciful. Lance Ito's still alive. Yeah. Tell me God's not a merciful God to allow Lance Ito to still be alive after everything he put us through. Ito and this guy, I mean, they're like, basically, it's like Pilate and Herod becoming friends after the trial. Just despicable. Just despicable, but here we are. Okay, now let's go to from Lance Ito and the judge in the Derek Chauvin case. Let's jump over to Joe Rogan's world out here, where it's been reported. For the post millennial has the screaming headline, "This just in, Joe Rogan is now attending church." That's right. This is according to Christian commentator Wesley Huff. I'm not sure what that means, Christian commentator. So, I mean, you could just say Christian, but he's a Christian commentator.
The Christian commentator.
Yeah, God is the Christian commentator. The rest of us are just Christians. Or non-Christians. But anyway, Wesley Huff, he's a Christian commentator, I guess, because he did an interview on Joe Rogan's show, and I think he did an interview on Joe Rogan's show because he does interviews about Christianity. Anyway, the post-millennial notes that Joe Rogan has openly questioned the universe, the meaning of life, and other big questions recently. I forgot to look up how old Joe Rogan is, but he looks to be about 50 years old. So there's something about turning 50, I think, causes Joe Rogan to start realizing that the Big Bang is utterly preposterous. Causes, who was the other guy who cracked open a Bible at 50 after portraying himself as a conservative for the better part of the last decade? Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson started as a leftist with a bow tie on PBS, pawns himself off as a conservative for the last 10 years or so, finally cracks open a Bible at the age of 50, and now Joe Rogan turns 50, and he's thinking, well, maybe there's a God or something like that. Anyway, that's encouraging. I'm encouraged that Tucker Carlson cracked open a Bible after sitting in a church pew of a Presbyterian church for 30 years. Because the Presbyterians, they don't open a Bible. Is he Presbyterian or is he what's the other one that my mom was an alleged member of there when she was a kid? The Episcopalians. There hasn't been an Episcopal Bible opened in a church in at least 100 years. So I forget which he is, but so he hadn't looked in a Bible because at his church it's not required, you know. But we're encouraged that he's reading the Bible. We're encouraged that Joe Rogan realizes that the Big Bang is preposterous and that it's far more likely that Jesus rose from the dead than nothing was the size of a pinhead and then exploded into everything. Which I heard Joe Rogan say that, and I'm like, well, why didn't you stop at nothing was the size of the head of a pin? How can nothing be the size of the head of a pin? So right there, you should stop the professor and say, wait a minute, professor, do you do math? Because nothing would be the size of nothing ever. Anyway, so congratulations on Joe Rogan for questioning the Big Bang and asking about the meaning of life. If I were Wesley Huff and I had Joe Rogan's cell phone number, I'd call up Joe and say, Joe, don't go to church. That's the last thing you want to do, Joe. Because what they're going to do if you go to church is they're going to get you all confused and they're going to get you to join their church instead of finding God. That's most churches. Now, it's possible you could get lucky, Joe. I'm not sure where Joe lives. And he could walk into the 0.05% of churches that are actually care about leading you toward God instead of just getting you to join their church and do some stuff they want you to do and start writing them checks. But I don't know if Wesley will. Anyway, Joe, if you're listening, don't go to church. That's the last thing you want to do. If you're looking for God, the place where God is the most concealed is at church. You're more likely to find God at a UFC fight. Just from the tattoos of some of the fighters, you might get some better theology than you will at most churches. The Postmillennial reports that Joe Rogan's openly questioning of the Big Bang comes amid a resurgence in Christianity. And then Huff, this fellow Wesley Huff, he says to the postmillennial, I can tell you for a fact that Joe Rogan is attending church. So let's analyze that real quick. Why, Wesley, did you say I can tell you when you're the one telling us? You don't have to say I can tell you. You're the one speaking. We know you're telling us. Okay, so there's extra word. And then he says, I can tell you for a fact that Joe Rogan is attending. Well, what do you mean for a fact? Are you implying that we might imply that you're lying? Why would we infer that? Why would we infer you're lying, Wesley? Do you lie regularly? Are you subconsciously relating the fact to us that you lie a lot and that you want to make sure we understand that what you're telling us right now is a fact? It's like saying, I can tell you. It's just extra work. I can tell you for a fact. Let's leave all of that out. What if Wes just said Joe Rogan is attending church? Well, that would have been a lot more believable.
But it's really too short of an article.
So, yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe he's so used to being a commentator that he has to add a lot of extra comments instead of just letting your yes be yes and your no be no. I forget where that comes from. Some other Christian commentator suggested that. Anyway, yeah, specifically among the younger generation, says the urinalists at the Postmillennial, Christianity and conservatism has been making a comeback. So the urinalists at the Postmillennial wouldn't recognize Christianity if it showed up in modest dress preaching the gospel. Why wouldn't they notice that? Because they don't comprehend the gospel or modest dress or anything. They need excitement. They need tattoos and bright lights. And anyway, by the way, speaking of theology on tattoos at a UFC fight, which there's a lot of it. There's a lot of crosses anyway. For some reason, people who get tattoos, they like crosses. What are the odds Joe Rogan already has a cross tattooed somewhere on his body? And he might not even know it, because the guy's got a lot of tattoos, and I think you probably lose track after a while. And I think a lot of tattoos you get, you're intoxicated when you get them, and so you might not realize what to... Joe, just start looking at the tattoos on your own body. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us as we slide across first base, face first, arms out, safe at first. And we round first, heading for us. So we go from the quality of doctrinal truth that one might find on Joe Rogan's biceps as compared to from the pulpit of a Presbyterian or Episcopal church. We go from there into the Department of Defense headquarters where Pete Hegseth led a prayer. Let's see. Pete Hegseth hosted what he is calling... He's got some major league tattoo. He's got the American flag and We the People tattooed on his bicep. I know that. And then I believe he recently got a giant medieval cross tattooed on his back or maybe on his front. I forget. Anyway, it's a well-known Christian symbol. Which goes right along with Secretary of Defense's Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth's recent announcement of a Christian prayer and worship service that will be held on Wednesdays there at the Department of Defense headquarters. And so I don't know if he was inaugurating it or if he's just participating in it, but he led a round of prayer. A round of prayer, which they have those at UFC fights, I think, now. They have rounds of men beating each other senseless and bloody, and then they also have rounds of prayer. So Pete Hegseth led the round of prayer, and he said in his prayer, we're going to quote his prayer because was this recorded or did he issue a statement? I'm not sure. This is from Protestia.com, which is I think it's a Christian website. They mostly publish a lot of anti-Catholic, pro-Donald Trump stuff. They said, here is Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth's prayer. Quote, King Jesus, we come humbly before you. That's a good start, right? That's a good start. King Jesus, we come humbly before you, seeking your grace in humble obedience to your law. Okay, so Pete's obviously not a doctrinal expert, but he's at least making an effort, you know. He thinks Jesus is the king and we're to obey his law, so maybe he's Jewish. Yeah. Anyway, okay. So obviously he's not a theologian. Well, actually, he might be. Anyway, let's. He goes on in his prayer, in his round of prayer there at the the Department of Defense headquarters. Lord God, we ask for the wisdom to see what is right and the courage to do what is right in obedience to your will. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. That's not bad, Pete. I mean, you know, he's making an effort. He asks for wisdom. So, Pete, instead of asking God for wisdom, I would suggest you study the Bible to get the wisdom. You know that when Solomon asked God for wisdom, God didn't magically, mystically insert wisdom into Solomon's brain housing group. What God had Solomon do, and what Solomon had been doing since he was young, was studying the Bible, Pete. That's right. It's not magically imparted. If you studied the Bible, Pete, you'd know the difference between law and grace, and between Jesus the King and Jesus the head of the body of Christ. So instead of praying for magical, mystical imparting of wisdom, which you might believe is a thing, it's not a thing. Instead of doing that, study the Bible. But we are glad that our Secretary of Defense is making an effort. Although I have to stop and ask the question. And I don't want to offend all my MAGA brethren and sistren out there, but I already know you've stopped listening because you just can't take it. Nobody who's a MAGA, who's bought the hat or the T-shirt or the MyPillow or whatever you bought, whatever you bought to establish your MAGA credentials, for some reason you cannot stand any criticism of Donald Trump. If there is any, you turn it off and you cut it out of your life, which is dangerous. Okay, because listen, there's all kinds of things I disagree with politically, theologically, doctrinally. I don't cut any of them off. In fact, I've noticed in my conversations that I have, mostly online, sometimes on the telephone, about doctrine and about politics, it doesn't take long for the people I'm talking to just stop talking to me and stop listening to me. I don't stop listening to them. I don't stop talking to them. They stop. How do you judge who won an argument? Who cuts the other guy off and blocks him out of his life? That guy lost. Okay. Now, where was I? I don't know where I was. Okay, well, let's just go into the next story from the Independent Sentinel. This comes to us from the MAGA file, Make America Gullible Again. Oh, I'm going to offend you all. Oh, that's where I was going. I have to ask the question. What's worse for the state of America's soul? A bunch of deviant criminal sex perverts obviously operating under the power of Satan, or a bunch of ignorant, phony, baloney Christians pretending to operate under the power of God? What's more dangerous for the soul of America? I'm just going to ask the question, leave it hanging out there so I can lose a few more listeners, because that's what I need. So let's go now to the Make America Gullible file, just in case there's any MAGA still listening. And you're still willing to have to, if you're still willing to admit that you might need some help, let's go to the Make America Gullible file again, where Elon Musk has departed Washington, D.C. after the failure of Congress to enact one penny of the suggested cuts from his Department of Governmental Efficiency. So Elon Musk basically sacrifices his entire social credit score that he's established with the left over the past 20 years when he was a mad leftist, drug-addicted leftist deviant that he was. He joins MAGA for 15 minutes and loses all of that, and all of his cuts that he suggested, not one penny has been enacted. As a matter of fact, despite all of the nearly $900 billion suggested from Dodgy, all of those cuts that were suggested, instead of that happening, what's happened is Donald Trump has introduced his big, beautiful budget, which contains socialist and deviant spending at mind-boggling deficits. Mind-boggling. That increased the national debt at mind-boggling levels. And Donald Trump's most recent budget submission proves that the culture wars were lost and fiscal responsibility is no longer on the table and no longer required to call oneself a conservative. In fact, you can be a deficit-spending, cross-dressing, transgendered leftist, and you now qualify as a MAGA conservative. And you can go out and get votes for Donald Trump in Pennsylvania, for example, if you're a boy. So, all that's left for so after this budget submission and what MAGA has now made conservatism's in quotation marks now because it no longer functionally exists. All that's left regarding the American hegemony of the last century is either, I mean, I don't know what's going to come. It's either going to be a massive fiery collapse and like World War III conflagration that America loses and ends up at the bottom of. And I don't know who ends up at the top. It can't be the Europeans. I'm not sure. So it's either that or it's just a long, slow, embarrassing descent of our nation until we resemble something approaching Greece or Egypt or I guess the EU at this point. Anyway, so definitely a signal that we're at the end of an empire, which is probably a good time for the gospel because a lot of people will be realizing that it's all over with. Everything they knew, they thought they knew. Heck, I think the kids under 30 now don't even know what we knew. They don't even know what they've lost. But hopefully it'll be a good time for the gospel. Now, speaking of that, let's go to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who was a leftist Democrat, baby-killing, philandering sodomite. That's what he's been for his entire life. And in the last 15 minutes, he's been a MAGA darling. He hasn't resigned yet. But he has bamboozled an enormous amount of people who you would have thought were Christian conservatives. They're cheerleading for RFK Jr., a baby-killing, philandering, left-wing, sodomite Democrat. Why? Because he's against vaccines. That's it. He's against high fructose corn syrup and fluoride. He's against fluoride and he's against chemtrails and he's against collapsing Building 7 on purpose. He's against all of that. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announced this past week that the COVID vaccine has been removed from the CDC recommended immunization schedule. And all the conservatives and all the organic shoppers, the ones who buy the only organic food, they're all cheering RFK Jr. because they think he removed the COVID vaccine from the immunization schedule. But for all of you out there with your organic cheese and your bonnets and your homemade clothing, for all of you out there who I love, by the way, I love all of you. You've been bamboozled by RFK Jr., which is shocking because up until 15 minutes ago, he was a left-wing Democrat, baby-killing, philandering sodomite. But all of a sudden, he's the savior of America's health. Well, you've been bamboozled because if you read the fine print, what RFK Jr.'s order did was it removed the vaccine recommendation for healthy children and healthy pregnant women. What does that mean? That means there's some exceptions. That means the CDC will still be recommending the immunization for children who are considered somehow other than healthy and pregnant women who are considered somehow other than healthy. Who are they? Well, the CDC gets to decide, which means the recommendation is not going to leave the publications of the CDC. Why? The CDC's a bunch of evil, left-wing, philandering, sodomite baby killers. And so is RFK Jr. And so they're going to keep insisting on unhealthy, ungodly health practices for all Americans, even as you turn your MAGA hat on backwards and pump your fist, cheering MAHA, MAHA, MAHA. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you, boys. Appreciate that. So RFK Jr. bamboozles evangelicals with his fake phony announcement on his fake phony removal of the COVID vaccine recommendation from the immunization schedule. And he claims we're now one step closer to realizing the president's promise to make America healthy again. We've removed the immunization recommendation for healthy children and healthy pregnant women. But if there is a baby that needs killing, the president and I still recommend the abortion pill and the morning after pills and all of those pills, provided that it's early enough in the pregnancy not to offend the national right to life or the average evangelical MAGA voter who's... And even then, we have ways, you know, to placate the evangelical voters and their own, and even our own consciences. When there's a baby that needs to be killed, we know. The thing we care most about is appearances, because so make MAGA. MAGA should stand for Make America. Let's see. Can I think of it? Make America garish again, because they're all just pretending up there. They're pretending they care and they're pretending they're conservative while they're stuffing their pockets and their faces with as much as they can get. All of them. Every single one of them, from Donald Trump on down. Don't think he's not feathering his own nest up there. Donald Trump is preparing for his family and his posterity to benefit from his presidency for the next two or three generations financially. Oh, no, I'm not. I know, but only the people on MSNBC say that Donald Trump has anything but his purest motivation. He's lost so much money. He's lost. And that is true. He's lost a lot of money. But Donald Trump's a businessman. And Donald Trump has successfully navigated the halls of government power for 50 years. Him and his lawyers. Donald Trump's gambit is not a short-term gambit right now. It's Donald Trump is playing the long game, trust me. And if you don't think he's taking advantage of you, then you just haven't watched and followed Donald Trump's career for the last 50 years. I have. And I'm not like Sean Hannity. I don't forget everything in 15 minutes and assume Donald Trump is the savior of conservative America. I'm sorry. I'm not buying it. If you buy it, you're probably going to lose money on it, but there you go. Now, speaking of all that, let's go to the Donald Trump effect that Breitbart has Trump effect headlines every week or so. They say this is the Trump effect, and then they say something that they report is allegedly good that Donald Trump is doing. And this week, the Trump effect is that Europe is now spending billions and billions and hundreds of billions of dollars on guns and bombs because Donald Trump cut them off from all the American support for their defense, and he's forcing the Europeans to buy their own bullets, guns, and bombs again. And Breitbart reports that as if it's something good. They say EU members have agreed to outlay almost $200 billion in a new program focused on rearmament in response to President Trump's demand that the Europeans begin to rely more on their own resources and less on U.S. taxpayer funding of their defense. What that means, boys and girls, is that the Europeans are going to be buying more of their own guns, more of their own bombs, and they're going to be standing up more of their own military forces under their own authority. And Breitbart thinks that's good because they're a bunch of childlike urinalists who barely fell out of urinalism school. And they don't remember that the reason we Americans agreed to pay for the European military expenditures and the defense over there is because the Europeans have proved that they cannot be trusted with guns and bombs and military. They can't be trusted. Do you people not remember this? What happened in the first half of the 20th century? Have you forgotten all that? If we let the Europeans arm themselves, within 20 years, they'll be slaughtering one another again. If we're lucky, it'll be within 20 years. because it already seems like they're hell-bent on making war with Russia over who gets to loot Ukraine for the next 20 years. And let's just be, I'm just going to be frank about this. The Russians, they only want to loot Ukraine. The EU, they want to rape, molest, and loot Ukraine. So there's no good guys in that, but there's some that are way more worse than the other. So anyway, so don't be so worried about the nickels and dimes, okay? Because that's only money. The folks over at, all right, I've said enough about that. Let's move now to the European Union, and they are considering the nuclear option, right? Now, but not in regards to defense, no. This is in regards to promoting the old world disorder. What is the old world disorder? We'll go all the way back to the Tower of Babel and Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's the old world disorder. And that's the Europeans, by the way. We Americans, we were the genuine new world. We had finally broken away from the pattern, the cycle of violence, devastation, corruption, and godlessness that the whole world fell into pretty much from the Tower of Babel and Sodom and Gomorrah forward. It's just been one unending cycle of degeneracy, prosperity, slaughter, barbarism, and... But there was a slight break in the new world, but now the old world disorder is rearing its ugly head again. And the European Union is considering the nuclear option. The country in question is Hungary. And you'd wonder, why did the European Union want to nuke Hungary? Well, the key issue is pride. And we're talking specifically the sodomite type, the LGBT variety. You see, the 16 members of the EU, otherwise known as the EU, but here at the Weekly Worldview, we know them to be the EU. Like when you get something nasty on you and you're like, ew. Or there's a certain smell and you're like, ew. Or the politicians allow sodomites to march down the street half naked in front of God and everybody and you go, ew. And then you duck under, you know, for the lightning, for fear. 16 members of the EU, including France and Germany, are calling for punishment of Hungary for their refusal to engage in what the WesternJournal.com calls the celebration of sexual sin, which seems to be an obsession with the EU. Viktor Orban in Hungary recently decreed that all public marches and pride celebrations are banned. Under criminal punishment, you start marching in the streets, talking about sex in front of women and children and innocent people, you're going to be arrested. You're a pervert. That's what Orban recently decreed. And that has freaked out the Europeans because for some reason, they're obsessed with advertising their sexual deviancy and perversion in public. I don't understand it myself. Viktor Orban's decree, combined with their alleged obstructionism when it comes to their position on the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Oh, that's right. So the Orban and the Hungarians, they just say that Russia might have to be allowed to win and be the ones allowed to loot Ukraine instead of the EU being allowed to loot Ukraine for the next 20 years. And for that, along with the banning of the marching of the queers, Orban is, he's risking the nuclear option. Uh-huh. The nuclear option, of course, being expelling them from the EU and other measures, including, what are they called? Injunctions along with... Tariffs, not tariffs. What do they call them? There's another word for, I can't remember. Economic sanctions. I'm sorry. Thank you. Economic sanctions and other measures, including injunctions. So watch yourself. We'll get the... And then eventually we'll start shooting you, cutting your heads off and maybe even drop an actual nuclear bomb on you because we're Europeans and we tend to slaughter everyone we disagree with. And then people we agree with until eventually everything's been destroyed and we're all laying in pools of urine and blood and someone comes and pulls us out and says, what the hell are you people thinking about? Which is why we don't allow the Europeans to build their own armies anymore or to build their own guns and bombs and tanks. Because we just don't want to see that happen again. But maybe it's going to happen again. This latest battle between the EU and the Hungarians pits Hungary's national pride versus LGBT pride. And the sad fact is nobody realizes that pride in and of itself is dangerous. And you should all cut that out and just be humble before God. And then, you know, you wouldn't have to worry about building armies and guns and bombs, and you also wouldn't have to worry about homos and queers and perverts wanting to march down the street because everyone would have a humble posture before God, which basically eliminates all of that stuff, which is what we need. We need humility toward God. What did Pete Hegseth ask for, call for there? Do we recall? Pete actually had a pretty good line in his prayer there. Pete said, we come humbly before you. He could have, should have just stopped right there. Lord, we come humbly before you. Thank you. Praise God. Amen. And okay. So at least Pete Hegseth said the word humble. That's good. Okay. Meanwhile, so why do we need to have come before God with a humble spirit instead of building guns and bombs and tanks? And getting tattoos, transgender surgeries, and then wanting to march in the street naked in June. Why do we need instead to have a humble spirit before God? Because here's what's happening, ladies and gentlemen. This is from the Decline and Fall file. The New York Post reported that hundreds of youths descended upon a New Jersey mall just a couple Saturdays ago in a planned meetup, a meetup that was planned on TikTok. Now, do you know what a meetup is? He asked his extremely attractive audio engineer. A meetup? Yeah. It's where you meet up. Okay. So like back when we were young, we would pick up the phone and we would call people and say, hey, you want to meet up at the so-and-so? And then we would go there and then we would probably do things that our parents didn't appreciate. But we did not set cars on fire and burn down the mall. But that's what kids do now in their meetups. And this recent one in New Jersey led to a massive brawl of about 300 youths. It started shortly after 8 p.m. The mayor there says he's offended and disturbed. Participating youths shared posts on TikTok and Instagram, leading to a swarm telling people to show up at the mall at 7 p.m. By 8 p.m. there was a massive brawl. And then in Los Angeles the following weekend, we haven't gotten reports in on this weekend's destruction yet, but we'll have those for you next week. Out in Los Angeles, a large mob vandalized a train, a police car, and several businesses with paint and fire in downtown Los Angeles. Several individuals posed for pictures while actively engaging in vandalism and starting fires, recording themselves and posting themselves on social media. Folks, that is the opposite of humility. Burning a police car, taking a picture and posting it up on social media to brag about it. Not only is that the opposite of humility, that's the end of civilization. America, it seems, has repented of creation in favor of destruction. In our Bible study this past week, we covered the meaning of the word repent by going to Genesis chapter 1, where God created, and then going to Genesis chapter 6, where God said, now I'm going to destroy. That's the definition of repentance. And the youth of America, having been raised without the fear of God now for 3 or 4 generations, they have repented of creation in favor of destruction. And I know what you want to say. Doug, this is just a small minority of inner city youth. This doesn't represent America. America is represented by the hardworking kids out there getting tattoos, putting their MAGA hats on backwards. Yes, they have facial piercings. Yes, they have no fear of God before their eyes, but they're good MAGA, good patriotic Americans. Those are the real ones. This is just a small group of inner city minorities. I didn't mean to say minorities. I meant to say this is a minority of inner city youth. You're not allowed to mention. You're only allowed to say they're youth. You're not allowed to say anything else about the kids who. But Doug, this doesn't represent America. And I just want to warn you, that's what the evangelicals and the Republicans said about the hippies back 40 years ago. They said, oh, these hippies, it's just a few kids. They don't really represent America. Well, those hippies that represented just a small portion of the population, that was true. They now run the institutions of education and government and media and culture. They run all, they have the levers of power in all of those institutions. And they run the institution of the global government that wants to nuke Orban for not letting the queers march in the streets. They run it all. And if these kids here who are calling for meetups where they burn down stores and light cop cars on fire, if they're not stopped or changed significantly, these destroyers are going to rule in 40 years. And what does that mean? I mean, the kids from the 60s, they just wanted to all experiment with socialism and homosexuality and LSD. These kids want to burn and destroy everything. So where does that go when they get in charge? So, I mean, there was a certain danger with the hippies in the 60s, and there's a certain danger now with the kids who want to burn down and set everything on fire and take pictures of themselves and brag about it. And how do we stop it? I know, only the gospel is the answer, right? Well, how do you preach the gospel to a kid setting a cop car on fire and posting his mug up on social media to brag about it? How do you preach the gospel to that kid? It's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us. So how do you preach the gospel to the kid who's setting the car on fire? So the first thing you do is you physically restrain him, beat him into submission, arrest him, charge him with a crime, put him on trial, and then convict him. And then you impose the sentence that is due and just. And then after that, once you taught the little punk he's a sinner, then you preach the gospel to him. And by the way, setting a police car on fire, that is a death penalty offense. So son, pull your pants up because you're about to meet Jesus. And let me tell you the gospel, because you're a sinner, just like me, but you can be saved by grace, but you need to humble yourself and trust Jesus Christ and have him forgive your sins. And if you don't think you're a sinner, that's why we're about to kill you. Because we're going to make that point for you, and more importantly, for everyone else who's going to watch, because we're going to do this publicly. And then an awful lot of people who see the punk executed are going to have questions about the gospel and God and justice. And that opens the door for all of us who are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ, meant to bring the gospel, right? We're meant to bring the gospel and the message of reconciliation to the world. And after you try and execute one or two of these punks, you'll have the attention of the whole world. And we'll have the greatest evangelical awakening in the history of mankind. But we need to get their attention first, and unfortunately, it's an unpleasant situation that they've put us in. But thus has it always been for the ministers of God. I mean, read Jeremiah, read Isaiah. Do you think they had it easy? They'd go down there and they'd say, turn to God. And they would be stoned and thrown in prison and sawed in half. Okay, now. Oh, this is probably the biggest story of the past week as far as economic, cultural. Four executives at Volkswagen are being sent to prison for basically fudging the software. These guys are geniuses. Trump should hire these guys. He should pardon them and then hire them. Now, I know you think he can't pardon people in Germany. That's not true. He certainly could. He could figure out a way to do it. He's a pretty good deal maker. So what these guys did was they designed the software in the diesel engines to know when the diesel engine was being tested for emissions. And then the diesel engine, the computer, would fake the emissions during the test. But then on the road, the engine would perform normally. Because, you know, the engineers had tried to tell the green delusional maniacs in Brussels that if you make us do this to our diesel engines, they won't actually move the car or they won't actually move the truck and people won't be able to use them. But the green maniacs said, you must, the emissions must meet this. And so the engineers designed this brilliant. So I would want these guys on my team, frankly. Because it faked it during the test, but then it behaved normally during regular normal conditions. And so for that, these guys, one of them faces 4.5 years in prison for fraud because he installed the software that temporarily increased pollution controls during inspections while running what this website, the TechCrunch.com says, the car ran dirty the rest of the time. It didn't run dirty. What are you, a communist? It ran normally. Like normal people need a car to run. That's all. Anyway, listen to this. Before 2015, diesel engines commanded half the car market in Europe because they were cleaner and more environmentally friendly than gasoline engines. But the environmental maniacs wouldn't stop at diesel. No, no, no. They had to have whatever their emission dream is, beyond what anything any engineer can actually do without cheating. And now diesel engines have collapsed to just 10% of new cars, and other engines are just figuring out other ways to fake it and cheat and lie. They're probably just straight up bribing the guys. That's what these guys at Volkswagen should have done. You should have just outright bribed the guys. No. Instead of, well, that's how you get this done in the real world, huh?
Yeah,
you just bribe the guys. I'm not saying it was right. Lying to the government with software is not right. But when you have a bunch of deviant criminal maniacs running the government, how do you survive?
Better to
outsmart them with the software?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it'd be better to stand up and say, you know what, we're not going to go along with this. In fact, we're going to clog the streets with Volkswagens until none of the bureaucrats can make it to their office in Brussels. And just, yeah, that's what needs to be done. Anyway, let's see here. A Volkswagen, by the way, this whole affair has been going on for nearly a decade. And I've been covering it the whole time because I realized what a big deal this is. Because they're basically trying to destroy the carbon-based economy, which is insanity. It's just utter insanity. The almost miraculous source of energy that God gave us in hydrocarbons is a blessing from God that was intended for us to use responsibly, and we can do that. But because the devil hates everything associated with God and wants to instead create his own counterfeit, he's obsessed with eliminating the hydrocarbon-based economy, which is good and a blessing. The whole affair, according to TechCrunch, accelerated Europe's transition toward electrification. Volkswagen became Europe's leading EV manufacturer. Okay, well, let's see how long that lasts. That's only for the moment. The whole EV industry is propped up by bribery, graft, loans, subsidies, and faking it. That's what the whole thing is built on. And the EU will kill Volkswagen as soon as it is in their interest to do so. Even though the guys at Volkswagen cowered and bent the knee and started making the EVs, as soon as the perverts in Brussels have an advantage or it's in their interest, they will kill Volkswagen. Volkswagen will be sacrificed to the big gay green god. In a moment. All the ones who bended the knee and went along, they'll all be sacrificed and killed and have their heads chopped off right along with the deviant perverts who wanted it. So don't bend the knee. It's better to fight. All right. Now, reason number 1,994 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Especially if you're in Chicago, in this case, there was a partnership between the Chicago Board of Education and the David Lynch Foundation for Consciousness-Based Education and World Peace. So, note to people in Chicago, the fact that you have a foundation for consciousness-based education and world peace, having one of those is a problem. If you have one of those, it's run by communist deviant perverts. Anyone who says that they have a foundation for consciousness and world peace, apart from using the name of Jesus Christ and the gospel of peace given to us by God, they're fake, phony, communist, deviant perverts. It's a problem. So you should have known that the public schools making a deal with the foundation for consciousness-based, whatever. You should have known that was a problem, and you should have got your kids out decades ago. But we're giving you the warning now. Get or keep your children out of the government schools because you got a bunch of consciousness-based education world peace perverts trying to confuse and molest your children. Let's see here. This was... this has led to... There's been a scandal around this whole deal. The government school system and the foundation in question agreed to pay $2.5 million settlements. What are they settling? Let's see here. So I don't know what the scandal is. So someone found out it was a bunch of child molesting perverts, I guess. I don't know. A class action settlement. More than 750 students involved because parents claimed something or other. I don't know the detail, but what I wanted to get to was the reporters here at Harbinger Daily. They report that the first individual to propose the government should be educating children was Robert Owen, an occult commune founder and a communist over in Germany. His doctrine inspired the American public school system. He's from the late 1700s, early 1800s. And furthermore, a former Assistant Undersecretary General, Robert Mueller, he has admitted that the UN-endorsed global education program is based on the teachings of Alice Bailey, the founder of Lucifer Publishing, who changed their name to Lucius Trust.
Really?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Lucifer Foundation?
It was the Lucifer Publishing, and now it's known as the Lucius Trust. And her doctrine was based on the teaching from a spiritual, from spirits that she claimed to be channeling, spirits she called the Ascended Masters. So basically the whole idea of government education comes from a bunch of satanic deviant perverts. Oh, big shock there. Government schools are indoctrinating children into false demonic religions, according to Harbinger's Daily. Public education is incompatible with the Bible and the foundational principles of the United States. It's past time, says Harbinger's Daily, for a total rethink of education. Hmm. Okay. Well, By the way, I like the fact that Harbinger's Daily got the right order. They listed that public education is incompatible with the Bible and the principles of the United States. Thank you for getting those in the right order for the journalists at Harbinger's Daily. Yeah, but I would remind them it's not time for a total rethink of education, just a biblical rethink. The Bible says that it's the responsibility of the father to educate his children. So let's just start there. Fathers, take responsibility for educating your children and don't offshore it to a bunch of satanic, occult, deviant perverts. Speaking of satanic, occult, deviant perverts, Billy Joel canceled all of his upcoming concerts because he's been diagnosed with a brain disorder. And he says he looks forward to the day when he can once again take the stage. And his management team sent out gratitude to all his supporters, all of his fans. Gratitude for the support during this time. Gratitude for the support. What does that mean? Oh, they bought tickets. Well, the fact is, Billy Joel may never be able to take the stage again. This could be the end of the road for Billy. Who, by the way, I remember back in the 80s when you remember the PMRC, which is a bunch of Democrat housewives who got up and paraded against rock and roll bands because the rock and roll bands had dirty lyrics. And so the PMRC managed to put lyrics, they managed to put a label on the records that told all of us teenage kids that this record has dirty lyrics. And so naturally we bought those records because the Democrat housewives, they're a bunch of drug-addled deviant perverts themselves. Bunch of godless heathens with Billy Joel tapes in their car. They were all listening to Only the Good Die Young on their way to the PMRC meetings where they designed the labels to entice teenage boys into buying the dirtiest of the dirty records. And they didn't label any of Billy Joel's records, even though Billy Joel is an atheist, deviant, God-hating, hell-bound heathen. Billy Joel is so evil that God has had to curse him with a brain disorder, and eventually God's going to actually have to knock Billy Joel down and kill him just to get his attention. That's how evil Billy Joel is. And by the way, that's how evil every man on earth is. God knew from very early on that if I'm going to get these people attention, if I'm going to get their attention, they're so prideful and they're so evil and the sin that they've unleashed upon themselves is so corrupting, they have no idea what they've gotten themselves into. And I'm going to have to actually allow pain and suffering and misery to rule the last 10 or 20 or 30 years of their lives just in hopes that I get their attention and they realize that they're not the masters of their own destiny. And it's sad that God's had to do that, but that's what he's had to do. And now he's knocked Billy Joel off his horse. And hopefully I get Billy Joel's attention and Billy Joel will listen to the gospel. Although it's hard to imagine. I was researching Billy a little. So he ditched his first wife who stuck with him until he made it big, and then he ditched her, and he married the model in the 80s. I remember that was a big story. That was another thing that that deceived and enticed teenage boys was Billy Joel ditching his wife, who stuck with him when he was nobody, and marrying Billy Joel ditched his wife and married the model in the 80s. Despicable. Just despicable that you did that. And then bragged about it. Not only did he brag about it, every newspaper and magazine in America lifted him up as if he were a demigod because he ditched his wife and married the model. Just disgusting. All right, meanwhile, Harbinger's reports. Reason 1994, reason 1994 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. No, wait. I'm sorry, we already did that story. Reason number 1993. A renowned Harvard University professor has been stripped of tenure and fired. Why am I doing a British accent? Harvard's in Boston. So what did this guy do to get fired? She fabricated data on studies focused on dishonesty. Oh, she. Oh, it's a girl. I'm sorry. I assumed it was a guy because he did something bad. Also, I always assume professors are men because I'm a sexist. But it turns out she was doing studies on dishonesty and she fabricated data. Uh-huh. Francesca Gino is a celebrated behavioral scientist at Harvard Business School. So I can tell you that the founders of Harvard never imagined that they would have one of those, a behavioral scientist. They didn't even, there's no way they would have ever even thought they would have thought of having one of those, and they had one. And so anyway, Francesca has had her tenure revoked and she's been fired. No professors have had their tenure revoked at Harvard since the 1940s. And I tried to find out what did they do, and I was not able because, so, well, it just wasn't widely reported. But I'm going to guess that they were, like, I don't know, sending secrets to the Nazis or to the Japanese or something. But this one, she lied about her studies on dishonesty, which is just kind of ironic. And reason number 1,993 to get or keep your children out of the government schools, all the schools like Harvard that rely on public funding and public loan guarantees, they're all public schools. They're all evil, deviant, perverted, corrupt, antichrist, godless, ungodly. And we're here at the Weekly Worldview to warn you about them. And should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week with more. And until then, may the grace of God go with you and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.